money that we are talking about that is going to cost this nation. My question is America at war with Russia? Because if we are financing it, just because we don't have boots on the ground, but our military might and our financial resources are in the middle of the battle, we're in the war. There's no question about that. And is that all right by you as an American citizen? It's, you know, you willing to say that's okay? I don't think any of us knew early on when this skirmish started and we were providing, you know, certain things early on in the war. You know, none of us could have realized or fathomed that we would be at a point where now we're talking about 70% of the armament that Ukraine is going to need to be successful in a war with Russia. Come on. We're at a point where it's time to start talking about this. It can't just be emotional anymore. And it doesn't mean that people don't care about the people in Ukraine. That's not what this is about. That somehow people don't care about what the suffering of people in Ukraine. As I said before, people suffer all over the world. And we aren't stepping forward and providing that kind of armament. And so because we are giving thought to it, to me, it's now our war. And I don't believe that there's anybody in this audience who would be willing to say, yeah, I think we need to provide 70% of the resources that Ukraine is going to be needing for a year or years to continue a war with Russia. Russia is prepared. They've got what they need to fight the battle for years. Ukraine does not. So then at what point do these questions start being asked and answered? And why don't we even focus on it? Why does it not matter? I really, at times, don't understand. Or are people more concerned about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp and their divorce? You know, I know that that's all over the place. And those are the kinds of things that far too many Americans waste their time with. But I want to know, who's making the call on that? Because, again, at a time when we're about to suffer in this country because of the climate, you know, are we then going to do something to help the American people who go through this struggle? You know, somebody's got to ask the question. And somebody should be answering those questions. Some of us have been here before. See, when you've been around a few years, you've seen things happen. We saw it in Vietnam. We saw the amount of money that was spent and wasted in a war in Vietnam at a time when we totally ignored the American people and what they needed. And yet that war was allowed to go on until the American people rose up and brought that to an end. Where are the American people now? You know, why? Why are you not interested in it? Well, you know, it's out of sight. It's out of mind. We don't see it. We don't know about those things. No, they're not going to tell you about those things because they know you're asleep. And as long as the American people are asleep, things like this can happen. Now, I'll say this much. When you get to a point where these things don't matter, what other things are going to wind up happening underneath our noses? I clearly think it's a major mistake for this nation to get deeper involved in what's happening with Ukraine and Russia. What do you think? 844-967-2789 is the number. 844-967-2789 is the number. Whether or not we focus on it or not, it's happening. And it's going to continue to happen. You know, if we're focused on it, maybe then, you know, the facts will come out. And we'll get a chance to see what it is we are talking about, what it is we are involved in. I again implore those in this listening audience to start thinking about that. Because I remember, a little over 2 months ago, when this thing really started ramping up 3 months ago. This is the fourth month that the war has been going on. And there was not one, you know, news outlet that didn't spend almost all the time talking about the Russian invasion. And now, as I scour those same news outlets, it's barely mentioned. And yet the war's at a fever pitch. It's more involved and more people being murdered now than in the last month, than in the first 3 months altogether when the heavy bombing was going on. And that's because the ground war is taking place. But I just have to continue to push back at what is taking place and why, the United States involvement in this is ramping up. I'm not one who's going to be silent on it. And whether somebody wants to join in the conversation or not, is not going to deter me from speaking the truth about what is a very dangerous time for this nation and decisions that have to be made. Never mind that we're talking about, you know, this skirmish that can draw in. If you think back to any of the world wars, how other nations were drawn in, especially the United States, into World War II, similar. You know, we got drawn in. Wasn't our fight. You know, just like what we're dealing with now, it's not our fight. But very easily, it's a slippery slope. You can get drawn into it. And once you're drawn into it, it's almost impossible to get out of it, especially when we're talking about the adversary being Russia. Man, we got to do the right thing. We got to be willing to face these facts, these hard facts. And it's not that, you know, we shouldn't help those people. You know, you help them to the best of your ability. You certainly can't do it by financing their war with Russia. I mean, that's absurd. to think that this nation is going to be able to maintain that. It can't. So phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Connor, who do we have on the line?
Right now we have an CJ from Skokie.
All right, CJ, what's going on?
I'm not going to let you forget how we got here. This is a failed policy of our president.
Listen, man. Listen. This has nothing to do with Joe Biden.
Yeah. Oh,
So let me. Other than the fact that Joe Biden is one of those who has agreed to send armament. He didn't create this situation.
Bull.
Listen,
you know how he created it?
No, and you don't either.
I need to remind you how he created it?
Listen, man.
Afghanistan failed surrendering Afghanistan.
I hate to say this to you, man, but and I really want to say something, but I'm not. You know, I'm not the kind of person who's going to say something harsh about another person. You're doing the best you can with what you have, where you are. That's the best you can do. So I can't expect anything differently from you because, you know, that's you have nothing else to give. You have nothing else to offer.
I told you 5 months ago, remember our candidate, Joe Biden, campaigned that he was the only guy that could go toe-to-toe with Putin, that his sanctions were going to deter this from happening. He watched the buildup.
Listen. He watched the buildup. He watched the buildup. What was he supposed to do? He said they were going in.
No.
What could Joe Biden do to prevent Putin from going into a war that's been going on since 2014? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that Russia and Ukraine have already been engaged militarily since 2014? No, you aren't. You only have the ability to have a conversation based on what you know. The whole world doesn't know because you just said you are just blaming Joe Biden for the fact that Russia invaded Ukraine.
His military advisors told him, don't do this.
Don't do what?
And Putin watched.
Don't do what? His military advisors. Wait a minute. His military advisors told him, don't do what?
Don't go to zero in Afghanistan.
Listen, man. With all due respect, man, I'm tired of hearing you and others like you who are ill-informed, who think happened in Afghanistan has any correlation with a war that's been going on in Ukraine since 2014. But again, that's the best you can do, man.
Who was president then, and who was vice president then, Earl, when they first went into Ukraine? That was the promise made by Obama.
Wait a minute. Listen, you said that Joe Biden was the reason that Russia went into Ukraine. That's what you said. So now you're coming back and saying,
the first time they went in.
So they've been there. They didn't go in and come out.
You're just giving a song and dance and looking the other way. You want to find any excuse, but the American and the world knows who caused this. It was Joe Biden being a failed president in Afghanistan, and you could watch it happen. And we knew it could happen in Taiwan.
You can only go to war with what you have, and clearly what you have is limited.
And
all right, thank you very much for the call. thank you very much for the call. You are limited, man. And that's why you will continue to pontificate the same foolishness every day. Cut him off, man. We got to go to the break, don't we?
Yeah,
okay. We'll come back to the phone lines on the other side. You know, CJ really has a problem with not being a learned person. And so, you know, hey, try reading sometimes, man. It helps. 844-967-2789 is the number. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Come back to the phone lines after the break. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Before we go back to the phone lines, Ukraine has said it only has a fraction of the weapons it needs to take on Russia and has urged the West to speed up the delivery of more arms as it faces a bitter fight in eastern Donbass region. In an urgent televised plea, Ukraine's Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Mahler said on Tuesday, "We can't wait too long because the situation is difficult. No matter how hard Ukraine tries, no matter how professional our army is," she said, according to a translation, "without the help of the Western partners, we will not be able to win this war. We only have 10% of the armament that we need to defeat Russia." Let's go to the phone lines, and I am excited to know that it's my friend Sandy. Sandy, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm okay. I was driving along listening to you. CJ called in. I thought, you know, maybe I'll call in. I'm sort of feverishly getting organized to head off to Israel tomorrow, but I can hardly avoid or ignore the notion of a rejoinder to CJ.
So Sandy, you've talked about this. They're saying they only have 10% of the weaponry they need. Can the United States provide that? Come on.
You know, the United States can provide lots of weapons, but the issue here is the notion of whether it's a good idea for us to let Ukraine fight a proxy war for us until they run out of resources, essentially manpower. We've made it very clear, and hopefully we'll stick to it, that we aren't going to put troops on the ground or planes in the air or give them offensive weapons of the sort that would really be needed for them to come out of this on top. So we're essentially, you know, supplying them with enough weapons to prolong this thing to the point of exhausting their resources. Now, they say they don't have enough weapons, but at some point they'll run out of manpower. They do have lots of people enlisted in the army, but they reported last week that the Russians had them outnumbered in the Donbass 7-1 in terms of numbers of men. You know, I think the issue here isn't whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I think the problem with the U.S. and Ukraine is that the United States, since the end of World War II, has assumed this role of international policeman, going wherever it wants, sort of doing whatever it chooses. And in this case, you know, I think we've essentially been an enabler, a codependent, so to speak, with Ukraine. We enabled them to stand up to Russia, but only to this limited extent. We didn't do this for Georgia, the country of Georgia. And Georgia has formed a relatively successful alliance with Russia. And we don't hear people in Congress or internationally complaining about the situation in Georgia. So, you know, I think both Republicans and Democrats have plenty of blame to lay to their feet at how it is we've conducted our international affairs and how it is that the United States has played a role in Ukraine.
You know, Sandy, I can't help but go back to all of the different times you and I have discussed what is taking place there. And you have always been right on point with the eventual outcome of this. And so, you know, the more weapons that we give them, the more money and resources that we invest, as you stated, in the end, it's not going to make any difference.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about it making a difference in the negotiation, but I continue, you know, I noticed that Henry Kissinger was basically saying the same thing. I've been saying, basically, that the outcome of this will need to be a negotiated settlement that will involve Ukraine acknowledging the Crimea's annexation by Russia and working out some different autonomy for the Donbas region, Luhansk and Donetsk. And that's what I was saying when the country was surrounded by troops before the invasion, that I thought that would be the kind of negotiated settlement that would be the outcome. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
Hey, Sandy.
We never know.
Hey, Sandy, can you hang on a second?
Yeah, I've got a couple minutes, sure.
Yeah, we gotta go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Got Sandy on for a few minutes. Be right back.
This kind of warfare than occur in the more distant warfare that involved bombing and more distant contact in the western Ukraine. So, you know, as you said earlier in the show, this is a time period where the death rate's going up, the amount of munitions that are being used is going way up, and the interest in it goes down because there's not much news. What do you report? The front is the same. It's just a movement back and forth. If this is something that's driven not by a real American interest, not a real politic American interest, but rather politics, then when the political will begins to falter because of a loss of interest, you know, that puts Ukraine at risk. So this is all. Henry Kissinger was talking about in real politics. If the country has a real interest in it, then they will continue to follow that interest. If what we're doing is really just sort of driven by a much less powerful interest, something that's presumably identified as being ideological, but it's more or less political, then there isn't much will behind it. And so what have we done? You know, we've given Ukraine the will to fight, but we aren't going to give it the wherewithal to get victory. And we shouldn't. You know, we should have known that going in, and we should have resisted the impulse to give them the wherewithal to resist.
Well, you know, Sandy, I said earlier, is this our war? And the longer we, you know, just because we don't have troops on the ground, and we're going to continue to feed the war machine, doesn't it eventually become our war?
Well, of course, and the fact that the war started, and to the extent that we might have, in some ways, provoked it by giving Ukraine the wherewithal and the will to resist and to avoid a negotiation with Russia over, for instance, the situation in Crimea. You know, the outcome of this war is creating a lot of fallout around the world. You know, there's no question that the price of oil has risen rather dramatically as the result of the dislocation of supply and demand created by the sanctions. And there are further ramifications simply in the economies. Europe is already beset by a probable recession. The United States is well on the road to that. Our stock market's already gone into bear territory. So there's lots of outcomes from this, and some of them might be well related to the failed foreign policy that you can't lay at the feet of Joe Biden. You have to lay at the feet of the international affairs establishment of the United States that goes back decades and lies on both sides of the party aisle.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the bear market, and now the Dow Jones is down to what, 30,000 from what I think a high at what, 36 something, and that was going to happen eventually at some point in time, right? I mean, it couldn't continue at that pace. That didn't matter who the president was.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, all of this, the business cycle in many respects is independent from the president. It might have to do with short-term things that occur that might add fuel to the fire of a strong economy. So the tax cut during Trump undoubtedly heated, I would assert, overheated the economy. All of the stimulus that's been fed into the economy during this time of the pandemic and COVID has obviously stimulated the economy with government conduct. But ultimately, economies that boom go into recession. There's no such thing as a permanent boom.
And so that time is coming, and you know, as you stated about the stock market, people have made a lot of money in the market. They're so far ahead than where they were when President Obama took office, and the Dow Jones was around 7,500. So you know, I'm hearing griping and complaining about, you know, what's happened. Joe Biden is crashing the stock market. I mean, come on, you know, and so those kind of things they're going to continue to put out there if people aren't aware of it, because they clearly want Joe Biden and the Democrats to, you know, pay the price for this.
The stock market is a reflection of people with assets. And like we talked for the last number of years, the stock market is not a thermometer of how the economy is doing generally or how Tom, Dick, and Mary are doing. It's really a measurement of how the wealthy are doing with the assets that they hold. And so the fact that it's a bear market is less important to me and actually is less important in the grand scheme of things than if it portends a recession that would involve loss of jobs and something that really affects Tom, Dick, and Mary. And the inflation is clearly going to do that. So, yeah, I think, when I get back, I suspect there'll be a lot more resolved about what's happening with the economy. We can talk about it more extensively.
Hang on a second, Stan. Hey, who do we have on the line?
We have David.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I get
okay, one. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, okay. Got you there. Really quickly, Earl, with the war in Ukraine, obviously this has made things definitely worse. I'm not going to disagree with Sandy on that part.
But it's not just Sandy, man. I know that it's made things worse. And everybody else does.
Yeah, but that being said, what do you think was going to happen when you have limit? United States, was the largest oil and natural gas producer for just a short time, very recently. And now, we have kneecapped ourselves to kind of say, we can't do these pipelines here.
Hey Dave, let me ask you. Did you hear Sandy say that it's a global market and the price of oil is predicated on what's happening on the open market?
But get my point. And Sandy, I hope you get my point. Well, is Sandy still on the line right now?
No.
Oh, okay. So Sandy, what I would say to Sandy would be, when you limit supply, it causes prices to go up. That's not rocket science.
Do you think Sandy, an economist, doesn't understand that? I mean,
no,
really.
I'm not talking about. I'm talking about what Joe Biden has done between us and Canada by not working with Canada and by limiting our ability to do what we have to do to put more additional refinery capacity and pipelines and other things. He made a very definitive statement that he was not going to do that. So when you do that, and it's sort of like, if you remember during, best example would be like when the Bucks were during through COVID last year, when they're going to the championship game, they're only able to sell, 20% of their seats because of COVID. Well, guess what? The price went through the moon because you had a very limited amount of seats. And the same thing, I'm applying that to what Joe Biden has done to the United States and Canada.
So, Dave, this is a Newsweek article this morning in business from Newsweek by Maria Azura Volpe. And she says, will gas prices go down this year? She's an economist for Newsweek.
Right.
Gas prices have reached new highs over the past few months, surpassing the record set during, global financial crisis in 2008. Listen to this. The coronavirus pandemic, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the consequent sanctions imposed on Moscow by America and the European Union have all contributed to the skyrocketing cost of a gallon. So is there any chance that gas prices will go down this year? Her issue is, I didn't see where she said, Joe Biden, Joe Biden did this and Joe Biden did that.
It's recorded, Earl. He literally did that.
Nobody's saying he didn't say that. You and others like you, Dave, continue to point the finger as if the reason we are dealing with almost $6 a gallon gas is because of Joe Biden.
What he could do is, we are under summer blend, as you know. We changed the blend of gasoline.
But in some areas, they've waived it.
Yeah, and you know what? Why doesn't the state of Wisconsin, why can't we get, like others, there's a few states now that have waived the gas tax. We have a 32 cents gas tax. That's not Joe Biden's issue.
Okay.
I understand, but why didn't he do it on a federal level?
And what I'm saying to you, they're talking about doing that right now, Dave.
Yeah, well, should have done it a while ago.
Okay. So 32 cents a gallon off of $5 a gallon gas isn't much. I'll tell you that.
Well, anything is a relief.
Right.
So
let's put it in perspective.
But at the end of the day, all I'm saying is, why is he not talking to Canada and talking to the province of Alberta? They are dying to work with us to get more supply under the market. If you do that, that will bring the price down. If you get more supply on the market, the global market, it will force prices to come down. When you have more of something, it makes it cheaper. That is economics 101.
Well,
that's what it is.
Well, I'm pretty sure the advisors around the president are more than aware of what you just said, Dave. It's hard for me to imagine that the greatest economist in the world.
Let me ask you a question, Earl. Do you think the Federal Reserve was a little bit slow reacting? Hang on, man.
We got to go to a break. We'll get back on the other side.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay.
844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Dave from Mequon. Dave, let me ask you something, man. Who sets the oil and gas prices in this country?
It's regulated by the U.S. government.
Okay. So the S&P and Global Plants control that, and so the New York Mercantile Exchange and all those folk control the prices of petroleum.
I was going to say, so I know that Tom is on the next line. If you want to bring Tom on, We can have a little debate. I overheard on the break, so just so you know.
Listen, man. This is last time I checked. This is the Earl Ingram show.
Right.
But
I'm just saying. I know we've had conversations where all three of us are on at the same time. But my point is this. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
So at the end of the day, the Federal Reserve was very slow to react with the rate hikes. They initially thought it was going to be transitory, and then by the time they figured it out, it was too little too late. The genie got out of the bottle.
Joe Biden doesn't control the Federal Reserve, man.
I understand that.
Okay.
But still, you have supposedly these intelligent people running these individual entities, be it the Federal Reserve or, with other, departments. And we also have, our Defense Department and everything else. And, obviously we've seen what's happening with Ukraine, and that's certainly turned out a lot different than we expected.
So listen to this. If the war ends, will worldwide gas prices stabilize? According to Ortega, we can expect to see an easing of global crude prices, which would result in retail fuel price drops. A peace deal would have an immediate impact on crude oil markets, he added, but it would take much longer for this to be reflected in gas price paid by consumers because we would have to work through the inventories that were built up in the higher costs. So, we can say Joe Biden is the reason that we are here. Is Joe Biden the reason that the prices are high all over the world? It's not just in America. Is he the reason for that?
No.
Okay,
no,
then. If he's not, and it's a global issue. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. He does contribute, though, to the global supply as well if he limits the U.S. and not working with Canada. Because U.S., like I said, is the number one producer of oil and natural gas.
And Saudi Arabia, the top three. So,
right. I understand that. But if you're limiting the United States, and Canada is very large as well, I think they're in the top five, that has an impact. And all I'm saying to you is that especially what we know what's going on with Russia, especially when we know what's going on with Saudi Arabia, I'd rather, if we can do something on our end to try to increase capacity and refinery, that would be a good thing.
I get all of that. The amount of fuel, oil that we would be receiving from Canada, they wouldn't sell exclusively to America. They're going to sell globally on the global market. Okay? So let's stop acting like, we're going to see this major drop in the price of oil if Joe Biden,
Oil is predicated on the futures.
Okay.
If you look at the oil, it's all based on futures. They're basing it on, when the whole oil crash, remember when oil was
$0? Hang on a second. All right, Tom, quickly. Tom?
First off, I want to ask you a question. Is it true or false that the privatized billionaire corporations are making record profits at the pump?
There's no point in hesitating. The fact is, yes, that's the truth.
But Dave, why don't you answer that question? Because they're making record profits.
Is Dave still there?
No, he's not.
Okay. Go ahead, Tom.
I think he's
all right. They're making record profits at the pump. If you want to blame Joe Biden for anything, blame Joe Biden, because I have no problem blaming Joe Biden. I know the Republicans only have, glass eyes, and they just basically, believe anything and just repeat everything with the Republicans in leadership say. But I'll tell you what, the only place where I can see Joe Biden needs to be speaking out is against the multi-billionaire corporations instead of we the people. Because if he needs to come out and say these people are making these record profits. Also, I would also ask Dave, Dave, wasn't there just a bill in Congress that passed where every Republican voted against going after big oil in terms of the price gouging that's going on in this country? And I know the other thing, which, of course, that's true, too. The Republicans have voted against going after big oil, and the Democrats have actually voted in favor of going to big oil.
So, Tom, hang on. Let's give Dave a chance to respond. Dave, quickly.
All right.
Tom, always a pleasure.
Go ahead, man. We're short on time. Go ahead.
In answering with all this, at the end of the day, yes, there's no question. There's not enough competition in the oil market. But again, when Joe Biden, when he got elected as president, the main thing that he predicated was that he was going to limit fossil fuels. And that was a big thing. That was something that he ran on and he actually instituted. And so I guess at the end of the day, like I said, there's consequences with that, though, too, because people think it's just, oh, I put gas in the tank. Oil is a very versatile product. It's used for many other things than just putting
gas. Hey, Dave, we don't have time. We don't have time for all of that. So you just responded to what Tom had to say.
Okay, I didn't hear what Tom had to say because I got disconnected.
Well, he mainly was talking about the fact that the oil barons and the billionaires are waxing rich with the increase in prices of the oil at the time that the American people are suffering and struggling. And so what's your thoughts on that?
Well, again, that's what inflation does. Inflation.
That's not Dave.
Situation.
Dave, you're dancing around the issue. The issue is not about inflation. It's about the fact that they're gouging the American people, the oil barons.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
All right. So, at the end of the day, again, if you're being limited in the supply and you can't get the supply out there and you're not allowed to build pipelines and whatever, yes, that causes a crunch, and that does create a artificial demand, and that does increase prices, and that's what ends up happening. There's only so much that can be produced.
Hey, Dave,
it's not enough.
They are gouging at with the record profits that they're making. So, yes, there's a finite amount of oil on the market. It doesn't mean that they have to gouge the American people.
And you know what? At the end of the day, like I said, you have to allow the market in this case, allow them to be able to build the necessary additional refinery and pipelines.
Hey, Dave, they're not going to build refineries and pipelines overnight. So what are the American people?
Okay, but if you announce that you're going to do that, that does have an impact on the U.S.
There are people who in this country who have clearly stated they don't want those additional refineries and pipelines. Trying to go in a different direction. Got to go to a break.
Yeah, there's consequences.
Got to go to a break, man. Thank you for the call. 844-967-2789. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.